Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. If you saw our show last time, this is part two of Will You Help Reach the Lost for Christ? I hope you have a zeal, not just to reach the people in your neighborhood or in your family, but to reach people all over the world with the saving gospel of Christ. I know someone who's a missions pastor, and I said to him, I want to give my money to a group that I know will reach the lost for Christ. I don't want to get to go to some pastor's jet or Cadillac. I want my money to go to reach the lost for Christ. And he said to me, the Timothy Initiative. So we're going to talk about using your time, your talents, your money to spread the gospel, and specifically about one of the best places that you can get involved. And that's called the Timothy Initiative. I want to introduce to you Gary Schneider. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Tom.
You are involved in helping the Timothy Initiative take off. Before we get into the interview, though, I always like to ask our guest, how did you come to know Christ?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's the most important question of all.
Yeah.
As a 17-year-old juvenile delinquent, I had one friend in high school. I was the high school bully. And I'm 6'6", 270, so you can imagine I instilled some fear in people. But the one and only friend I had, his name was Keith, and he was about 5'4". And we hung around each other. We were on the wrestling team together. And right after we graduated from high school in 1980, he invited me to his church youth group. And honestly, I went along because I knew there were a lot of pretty girls at that church. And we ended up on a canoe trip all day long. And then in the evening, we went to a Bible camp where I sat in the midst of about 3,000 other teenagers. And I heard the gospel for the very first time. I still remember the preacher spoke from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And I sat there thinking, well, I haven't, you know, robbed any banks or I haven't killed anybody. I was rationalizing, justifying myself. But then I began to think, like, I really do need a personal relationship with Christ. There was a lot of anger, even violence in my heart. And by the time he finished preaching, he gave an invitation to stand up. You know, and I'm so tall, I was a little intimidated. And I was sitting way in the back. He said, stand up and walk to the front.
Wow.
And invite Jesus to give you the gift of eternal life. So I don't know how it happened. I felt like I was somehow like transported because I was so afraid. Mm-hmm. But I stood up and I walked to the front. And 3 hours later, after praying and crying and asking Jesus for forgiveness for my sins and to give me the gift of eternal life, 3 hours after being there at the front, we got back on the bus and went to Green Bay, and I was born again.
And you stuck. You didn't leave and come back like some people do.
It's stuck. It's been over 40 years now.
And now you are full-time involved in world missions.
I am.
And you're with a group called the Timothy Initiative. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us why it's called that? Mm.
The Timothy Initiative comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, where Paul, who is the apostle, is speaking to Timothy, who is his disciple. And he's saying to Timothy, the things that you've heard me say in the presence of witnesses, entrust that truth to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others also. So in that one verse, 2 Timothy 2:2, we derive our name, and there's four generations of spiritual multiplication.
Explain that. What does that mean?
Spiritual multiplication means I share the gospel with you, and then you in turn share it with someone else, who shares it with someone else, who shares it with someone else. That's what the Timothy Initiative
okay.
is all about.
Which leads to a three-minute video on exactly that. Before we show the video, though, would you hold that up and show people where in the world the Timothy Initiative is located mm-hmm. and where they're reaching people for Christ. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. And where's your main areas?
You can see in the middle of the map is India.
Yeah. Let me move it. There you go. Uh-huh. There's India.
And a good portion of our work is there.
Okay.
All over Asia, in fact.
All over
and
Asia.
And North Africa. We focus on parts of the world where the gospel is not yet known.
And that's what's unique about you guys, mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. that you were, before the camera started rolling, you were saying that 1% of, say that again.
Yeah, only 1% of the money that's given to reach the world outside the United States goes towards what we call unreached people groups. That is, places where it's less than 5% evangelical Christians. So much of the money goes to places where the church already exists.
Mm.
But the Timothy Initiative is so unique in that we go to the places where the gospel is not known. Of course, that's the hard places. That's
yes.
Asia. That's North Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the reason that the gospel's not there is because the people there don't want it there. They will burn down churches. They'll blow up churches.
And this is why I give my money to your group.
Mm.
And everybody, we're going to watch a 3-minute video now on just how they're multiplying and making believers all over the world. Let's watch that.
I'd like to tell you a story. A story about what happens when people meet Jesus. An actual account of disciples making disciples. This is Samuel. He's just an average guy from Myanmar until God gets a hold of Samuel's life. Then his life goes from ordinary to extraordinary. He surrenders his life to Christ, joins TTI, and the domino effect begins. Samuel leads Nanda to Christ, and Nanda joins TTI and leads Sai to Christ. You get the idea. Now, when we first met Sai, he was a monk who studied from childhood to become a Buddhist missionary. His plans were thwarted when a witch doctor placed a curse on him. Sai knew how to cast spells as well, but nothing he did worked. He was cursed and no power was strong enough to break it. Then Nanda introduced him to Christ, whose power freed him and saved him. The man who was once a Buddhist missionary is now a TTI leader who trains disciple makers to reach his nation for Christ. Disciple makers like Aya. Sai led Aya to Christ, who led Lon Lon to Christ, who led Sandy to Christ. Sandy knew she had to share the gospel with Maya. Maya was a widow with 3 young children. She worked tirelessly from dawn until dusk to provide for her family, but still barely made enough to survive. She felt life wasn't worth living until Sandy told her about Jesus. She gave her life to Christ, but when her community found out, they mistreated her and chased her out of the village. But not even that could stop Maya from telling others about Jesus. So when she met Shine, she led her to Christ. All these new believers joined TTI and became disciple makers. When Shine got the gospel, she gave it to Amala. Amala knew her brother Cain needed Jesus, and she knew just where to find him because he'd been living in a cave for more than 20 years. There in his cave, he meditated and burned incense, offering prayers and mantras. There he stayed until Amala showed him to Christ. He came out of the cave and began following Jesus. Now he's a TTI church planter. Kayen went on to lead Zenji to Christ, who led Khan to Christ. For those keeping track, that's 12. 12 disciples who made disciples in Myanmar. And it's not just happening in Myanmar. It's happening all around the world. This is a story of disciples making disciples. This is the story of how we get the gospel to everyone, everywhere.
So there you go. Their group, the Timothy Initiative, is into multiplying disciples like we just saw. And I want to tell you, too, they've got lots of great 3-minute videos that are so inspiring. How do they watch those? Can't they go to your website?
TTIonline.org.
Can you put that up for us? ttionline.org. If you want to be inspired about people who get saved from witch doctors, or they've got just great three-minute stories that you should put on the screen of your church in the middle of your sermon, Pastor, because that'll inspire people. So explain one more time, what is spiritual multiplication?
Based on 2 Timothy 2:2, where you have an experienced trainer that's mentoring a disciple, and then that disciple grasps the material. And in our system, we have a two-year training cycle that covers every book of the Bible, so there's a significant grounding of the faith. It's not just a surfacey type thing. 2 years, every week, every book of the Bible. And then those disciples recruit others under them that we call the third generation. That would be Titus in TTI lingo. That's the Titus. And Tituses are the new believers that the Timothys, as a part of their training, have learned how to lead to Christ, learned how to disciple them.
Okay.
Timothy's disciple, Titus's, and then Titus's disciple, a fourth generation, which we don't have a name for per se, but then the process begins over. I've actually seen pictures, Tom, of 13 generations of spiritual multiplication.
Wonderful.
I led you, you led him, she led, you know, 13 in a row in the span of less than 2 years.
Wow.
And they're all involved in disciple making and church
planting.
We're
talking people that either were nothing or Hindus or Muslims or
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. Most of our work is amongst Hindus, Muslims, animists, and Buddhists.
Really? Mm-hmm. And is it true, I asked last week our missionary guest, do Muslims seem to be the hardest group to convert?
I would say Hindus.
Hindus?
Probably are, yes.
Why do you think
yes.
that is?
They tend to be more hostile towards the gospel. With Muslims, there's a bit of commonality.
Uh-huh.
They have a high respect for Jesus.
Okay.
Hindus, at least where we work, my experience has been that they are extremely hostile towards the gospel. We'll think nothing of burning down or blowing up a church
oh my.
In places that we live. We experience persecution, torture,
ooh.
Literally on a daily basis. We're talking about 100,000 Pauls and Timothys worldwide.
That's what you have now?
That's what we have right now.
God bless you.
It's a small army. And by the end of 22, because of the spiritual multiplication we just talked about, we will have over 300,000 by the end of this year.
Wow.
So it's quite a large army, and literally every day we get reports of a Paul or a Timothy being persecuted, thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. In many places, it's illegal to proselytize, but we do it anyway because it's better to obey God than man.
And can I ask, what countries have the most hostility, would you say?
Certainly countries in Southeast Asia,
okay.
you know, across India, Vietnam, Indonesia. Indonesia is actually the largest Muslim country in the world. India would be number two
okay.
in that list.
So the Muslim lands tend to be the most persecuting of the church? Is that true?
Between Muslim
and Hindus,
Hindu, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Well, God bless your important work. This is just crucial. Let's say somebody, and I asked this last week, I'll ask it again. Let's say somebody, maybe they're a shut-in, can't get barely out of bed, or they've got a job and a full-time job and a marriage and children. How can people who aren't going to be going overseas themselves get involved to support the salvation of the world?
Wow.
What can they do?
It's a great question. Thank you. Well, in the Timothy Initiative structure, we can plant a church for $400. That's a one-time gift of $400. The reason we do that is because we don't send Americans overseas. We equip indigenous local believers.
And that's a lot cheaper, isn't it?
To do the work of the ministry. It's a fraction of the cost.
Yeah.
In fact, we don't even pay them. They're bivocational. So while they're coming to the two-year training that I mentioned earlier, they're doing their work of being a baker or a candlestick maker or a shoemaker, whatever it might be.
Uh-huh.
And they continue in their bivocational role even when they plant a church that meets in their own home, because we don't build sanctuaries.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't send people off to seminaries. You and I have both been to seminary, and we're thankful for that. But to do the work of the ministry, meaning lead people to Christ, disciple them in the basics of the gospel, and plant a church. You don't need a seminary degree. That's the thing that the Timothy Initiative is.
So people can give.
Yes.
To help missions. Yes. I mean, most people watching this are not going to go overseas to become a missionary.
Right.
They can give. What else can they do to be involved in world missions?
Well, $34 a month will plant a church through the Timothy Initiative, and that can be done through the TTIonline.org website.
Okay.
We have a button that says resources,
uh-huh.
and they can participate in that way. Also, prayer is such a huge part of what we do. And we also have a place on TTIonline.org where you can sign up to be a part of our international prayer team.
And then they get emails?
You get an email every month that gives you updates. We ask you not to disseminate that through the internet, just to read it and then delete it yourself.
To protect people from persecution?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. Those are the two primary ways. We also have opportunities for people who are interested to go on what we call a vision trip, to say, hey, we want to show you the work that your funding is doing. In fact, coming up here in 3 weeks, I'm taking 15 pastors and partners to Tanzania for a 10-day trip to see the thousands of churches that have been planted throughout Tanzania.
And you know that, I mean, you used to work with Campus Crusade for Christ.
That's right.
And back in the 80s, I went on one of those trips.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I came back and I gave to the Jesus Film Project for years because of it.
Wow.
So when people actually see what their filthy money can do, it'll change their life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, Gary, let's review for people too. What exactly is the gospel, good news in Greek, what exactly is the gospel message that you share with someone overseas or in America so they can be a Christian? Mm-hmm. What do you tell them?
The gospel that we share, the gospel that we proclaim according to the scriptures, number one, is that God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. I experienced that love myself on June 28th, 1980, when I shared with you before.
Yep.
The second critical component to that is to understand that we are sinners, that we're apart from God, that no matter how many good works we try to do, even going to church, even giving money, all that, the Bible says, is as filthy rags in God's sight.
Everybody thinks they're saved by being good,
right.
And we're not good.
We're not good, because we're born with a sin nature.
There you go.
But the good news is that Jesus came, died on the cross, rose from the grave, and gives us the gift of eternal life when we ask him for it.
Right.
A gift does no good unless you receive it. So the gift of eternal life has to be received, which comes simply by saying, Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I need you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins and give me the gift of eternal life.
Yep.
That's the gospel we proclaim.
Amen. And if I can give you my favorite Luther quote from 500 years ago, Martin Luther said, when I look at myself, I don't see how I can be saved. Mm. When I look at Christ, I don't see how I can be lost.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I just think the saving gospel is Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And like you just pointed out, 9 out of 10 people think, well, I'm going to heaven because I think I'm good enough. Mm-hmm. You're not good enough.
Not good enough.
We're good enough for hell. We're sinners, but it's only Christ that can bring us salvation.
Amen.
Now, you know, if people watch our show, one of the things I talk a lot about is the heresy that has invaded the mainline denominations in America. The United Church of Christ, the ELCA Lutherans, Presbyterian Church USA, and I get depressed about this stuff, but I think I have to talk about it because I want people to leave bad churches that used to be good. All those denominations, once upon a time, were Bible-believing denominations, but they've gone bonkers radical, and to try to get them into a good church. And I had a professor at a seminary who was a professor at my old seminary, which has become hyper liberal, but he was more evangelical, and he said, because we were talking about the depressing state of the church, and he said, Tom, you got to look overseas. Yeah, the American church is a mess, but wow, is God doing stuff overseas? And you know, you're here with the Timothy Initiative. What other good groups are out there really bringing lost people to Christ? What would you list as some of the other good groups out there?
Well, it is true that there is a worldwide revival going on. There's such a receptivity and a hunger in the hearts of people around the world We see that every day in the Timothy Initiative, and we work with over 100 different evangelical denominations.
Oh, good.
We work with the Baptist Church, all different stripes uh-huh. of the Baptist Church. We work with Pentecostals. You know, we work with a couple other of like indigenous national churches that are found only in Africa and in Asia. In total, I think we have over 100 partners that we work with. You know, part of the problem is that the church has been an inch deep but a mile wide.
Mm-hmm.
So part of what we hope to accomplish in the Timothy Initiative is a comprehensive study of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
We study through every book of the Bible. We talk about marriage and family, church history, preaching, praying, the spiritual life of prayer and devotion. So it's a very in-depth, solid foundation that our disciples are getting so that it's not only a mile wide, but a mile deep as
well.
So
you're trying to, yeah, in fact, our speaker last week said the same thing.
Mm.
You can get a lot of people that are, quote, saved, but it is just a shallow thing.
Right.
So
right.
we need to get that deeper.
And then when the cults come along, they're so easily pulled away.
Yeah.
Unless they have that deep biblical.
What are the cults that are active overseas? What are the big ones?
Well, the prosperity gospel is found just about everywhere. You know, that has
and it's in America,
done its
all
work.
Like crazy.
It's here.
And let's just explain.
Yeah.
What you, I can do it, but why don't you do it?
Yeah.
Explain to us what's wrong. What is the prosperity gospel and what's wrong with it?
I would say it's saying that if you become a follower of Christ, that you will be blessed financially without doubt. Now, there are times where that does happen.
Yeah.
Because you're spending less money on destructive things
right.
in your life.
So there's a general principle.
There is a redemption and lift
yeah,
that takes
yeah.
place. But to say that becoming a Christian guarantees that you'll become wealthy is very much misplaced.
Yeah.
It's not biblical. That's a big one. We see a lot of Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. They're extremely active. You know, the aspect of receptivity works across the board. You know, when someone is hungry spiritually, they'll walk a mile to get a drink in the desert.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to get there
first
before the other cults do.
No kidding. Which is why, again, I give my money to groups like the Timothy Initiative. Yeah. Explain to me what church, what other are there good denominational missionaries that you work with?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
you just said that, but mm-hmm. but you said Baptists,
Assemblies of God.
Okay,
we work with quite
there
a few Assemblies of God.
Okay,
the nature of spiritual warfare overseas is so intense that unless you lean into this aspect of spiritual warfare, it's difficult to make progress. So we tend to rely on the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit,
okay.
you know, all of the ministry gifts
yes.
in a way that the American church sometimes shies away from.
Okay.
Like I'm talking about praying for the sick and
oh, yeah.
casting out demons
sure.
and stuff like that.
It's all over the New Testament.
It's very real.
You
and
bet.
It's the book of Acts.
Yeah.
Our church planting manual is the book of Acts.
Oh, good. Well, Gary, maybe somebody's watching this and they're wondering, is God calling me to become a missionary? How did you discern, and how can they discern that, whether that's so or not?
Mm.
And how did you discern it?
Mm.
You know, how do you figure this out?
Well, that's a great question. Yeah, shortly after I accepted Christ, as I shared earlier, I went off to a college as a visitor in Minneapolis, actually. And I happened to be there the very same week that there was a missions convention. And there was a guy up on the platform talking about the lostness of man and the need for laborers and God's call. And I really felt God impressing on me that that's what he had for me. And a short time later, I was at Marquette University, where I was going to college at the time, in Milwaukee. And I came home from a church service, and I knelt down at my bed, and I began to pray. And all of a sudden, the Lord impressed a verse on me. This has only happened like three times in my life. And that verse was 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's all that could go through my mind was 2 Timothy 4. And I looked in the table of contents. And I found there was a 2 Timothy 4. I had no idea. I was a brand new believer. Literally had no idea what a 2 Timothy 4 was.
Yeah.
And it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. And then it goes on through verse 5 and says, do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. So I'm thinking, God, are you calling me into the ministry?
Uh-huh.
You know, that was a frightful thought. But it was later confirmed through some friends. I went back to church that Sunday, and a man who was a traveling salesman came up to me, and he said, "Gary, you don't know me, but I'm a traveling salesman, and I was driving my car this week to an appointment, and I felt like God told me to talk to you and tell you that you're supposed to go to Bible college, and I'm supposed to pay for it."
Oh, wow.
So that sent me to North Central here in Minneapolis,
wow,
where I went for 3 years.
Mama mia.
In preparation for the ministry. So,
well, so just if anybody's watching this show and you're wondering, I asked the same question last week, and he said pretty much what you did. You pray, God guide me, mm-hmm, but then see if God confirms it.
That's it.
And just
very
wait
important.
And see.
Yes.
Well, we've got to close now, but everybody, let's put up on the screen again the information. If you're interested in being part of a group or supporting a group that's really going after the salvation of the lost and not some TV preacher that wants you to buy him a jet, here's the Timothy Initiative, ttionline.org, or you can call that number, 919-76-5760. Go to their website and watch their videos on witch doctors getting converted. I mean, they're just powerful stuff. Pray for them, and if the Lord nudges you that you're thinking of being involved in missions in some way, you can call or write them. And just, you know, make sure, though, you yourself are doing something to be involved in world missions. If your church doesn't have missions that they support outside the United States, you know, like Gary said, almost all of our mission money goes to the United States. Let's get over to Nepal and India, where people don't have the chance to hear the gospel. And so I encourage you to do that. So if you'd like to watch this show again, our shows are on our website, pastorstudy.org, right there. Go there and you can say, "Look, I watched this show about missions. I want to watch it again," and then have a friend watch it. But pray about supporting missions. Pray for missions. And pray for yourself. Lord, am I supposed to be a missionary? And Gary, we got 1 minute. Would you close us in prayer?
Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that the gospel is going out. Your word said that this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end would come. And we want to be a part of that end time harvest. Surely, mm-hmm, this is the 11th hour, mm-hmm, Lord, the end of the age. And we want to be as effective and as efficient as we possibly can by orienting our life around the Great Commission to give and to pray and to say, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Whether you send us in prayer, whether you send us literally, physically, whether you send us through our dollars, mm-hmm, Lord, we say yes to your call. Help us to be a part of this great end time harvest that brings about the return of Jesus Christ and the ultimate fulfillment of the Great Commission.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Gary. God bless you. And that's the end of this little series on Will You Help Reach the Lost for Christ? We'll be back to normal TV shows and sermons next week. But God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time at the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.